Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hi, I'm Chad. I'm a Gen X grown-up. I support Gen X grown-up through Patreon, and you can too at patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown Up podcast listener, to this, the Backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast. I am John. Joining me as always, of course, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
You know the George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
You know, guys, we've spoken several times on this very show about our Gen X educational experiences, but one particular part of school keeps coming up time and time again. It was part social club, part study hall, part hangout, and... oh, also, you can eat lunch during that time, too. Actually, in this episode, with help from our listeners, a lot of help from our listeners, we remember the school lunch experience from a Generation X perspective. And man, did we get some feedback. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. But first, I want to check out some fourth listener email. This time around, fourth listener, someone we've never heard from before, a brand new listener, Kevin M. wrote in.
Yeah,
nice. The subject line of Kevin's email was, hi.
I like it. Simple, direct.
All right. Very friendly. Right up front.
Depending upon your standard viewpoint, that could be nice or ominous. Just depends
on what's the inflection, right? Was there an emoji next to hi? There wasn't. I'm baffled. No.
Paranoid. Or...
here's what Kevin had to say. Heard about your podcast from Digitally Creative by Vincent Ferrari, who interviewed me a few months ago. Awesome. Oh, thank you, Vincent. Have been listening to back episodes, playing catch up. Question for the oldest in the group.
John.
Mo.
George. All right, that's me.
So the question for you, Mo, in a backtrack from 2019, y'all went over memorable TV moments.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like watching the Chernobyl incident on TV or listening to it on the radio?
Oh, wow.
So, why is it only the old person? That was, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, because he wasn't in diapers like we were. He was already, you know.
Wow. I was actually able to watch the TV by myself.
we were watching cartoons, George.
Yeah, I was watching
it. It was a Chernobyl cartoon, though.
So Chernobyl happened in 86. So I was actually in college at that point. Okay. You guys are still like in, you know, numbers.
I was in high school. I think George was too.
I was in high school. Yeah. Fucker.
But yeah, I remember seeing it. And basically, it was honestly, it seemed like the news kind of downplayed how bad it really was.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I remember
too.
Thinking that it was bad because I remember Three Mile Island. And I'm thinking, and then I heard this one was worse. I was like, oh, crap. But it was on the other side of the world. So I was like, oh, sucks to be them kind of thing. Honestly, it was going through my head. But then, you know, as I learned more and as time went on, more and more started getting released about what actually happened. I was like, I should have been a lot more scared than I actually was.
Right. It was a bigger deal than they told us. Yeah. I remember that, too.
I think we all had that feeling when we watched that TV series that came out. What was it, last year?
That's another level of freaking out for me. I'm glad I didn't know that, to be honest. I was like, holy crap.
They didn't want us to be panicked, so they didn't tell us much about it. So it kept us in the dark. Kevin goes on to say, thank you, Mo. Kevin goes on to say, George, have you noticed when John closes the show, he tells you thank you and tells Mo he appreciates him?
Oh, yeah. That has not gone unnoticed, Kevin. That has been, 30 fucking years in the making?
What?
This guy
what
has,
is...
It's, I'm a more what? Emotionally yeah. needy. That's all.
those are equivalent to me. I'm thanking you. I appreciate you both. It's just two different ways of saying it. Really? You don't see it the same?
Nope. No, I think it's really? Not the same.
I think
whatsoever.
It's totally the same.
You can don't change anything, John. You can appreciate your spouse. They're completely different.
Hmm. I never saw it that way. I got to rethink my pattern.
Yeah, you did.
Rethink my pattern now. I end the show. I didn't. I thought they were the same. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not buying that. I've known you too damn long.
This guy's causing trouble. Look at this.
He is. He's got more coming. Also, Chuck E. Cheese and Showbiz rate the same. Great for kids, but annoying for adults. No, Showbiz is better. Done. Clearly.
I was on Kevin's side until that.
Right. Can I go back to my old closing now since we've disregarded Kevin? Is that fair? Is that
I think so.
I'm not going to be pissed at both of you. I have enough anger to spread around if you haven't noticed.
He says, I do believe Chuck E. Cheese had a ball pit at one point, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, they did.
He is correct.
Does that make them the winner? I mean, Showbiz had a ball pit.
I mean, they were the winner anyway.
They were
There's still Chuck E. Cheese around.
That's right. They're bought by Showbiz.
Yeah, and Showbiz realized their category was so fucked up, they changed their name to Chuck E. Cheese.
I have no horse in this race, so let's move on.
That's total hearsay.
That's not hearsay, it's what happened.
Revisionist history. Agree to disagree.
It's not history, fake news, it's current affairs, news. Motherfucker.
Kevin wraps it up just by saying, enjoy the show. Keep it up, Kevin.
Thanks. All right.
Well, that's now that Kevin's really stirred the pot and caused discord here. Thanks, new listener. Wow. Well, that's the last show, everybody.
Now we have a debate show about lunchroom time.
I guess, right? And George just found out I've been dissing him for 6 years and I didn't even know it. Yep. I had no idea. Heaven's sakes. Oh, my world's in turmoil. Thank you so much, Kevin, for writing in. I'm glad you found us. I'm glad you're listening. I appreciate that you took the time to write into the show. We love it every time the fourth listener puts pen to paper or fingers to keyboard, whatever you do this day and age. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it's drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. Read every single one, and most of them, like Kevin's, will eventually make the show. All right. Now, I had said that the fourth listeners helped with this episode. That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I put out the word about 3 weeks ago, hey, if GXG does a backtrack about school lunches, they had better talk about this. We were overwhelmed with responses. So if yours doesn't make the show, we're sorry. We're going to get as many of them as we can. But there's so much good stuff and memories that you guys had that we're going to use to spark our memories ourselves and our discussion in this backtrack. And that will begin when we get back. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
It happens every noon. Monday through Friday, in this school, in all schools that take part in the National School Lunch Program. Lunches are planned by a local school manager whose menus have taste appeal and day-to-day variety. A good lunch provides from a third to one-half of the student's daily needs. In thousands of schools across the country, millions of school children participate in the National School Lunch Program.
Now, as we get started talking about school lunches, clearly school lunches are still a thing. This is one of those categories of backtrack where it's not that this thing is gone. It's that we remember it in a certain way. And I couldn't tell you how they're different today because I don't have school lunches anymore. They won't let me in. I knock on the door. I have my money. They won't let me in. So we're really talking about our experience and what we remember about it. And there's a lot of fond and less than fond memories we'll get to, but we'll just start, as we often do, just talking about the origin of, like, school lunch wasn't always a thing. You know, back in 1900, almost all the states had laws that said you had to go to school if you were under the age of 14, right? So before that, it was optional if you were living on a farm or whatever. But ultimately, there were a lot of states that said you got to go to school because it's part of the national education program. And then now that you're sending kids to school, you have to worry about, did they have money for lunch? Because they can't always go home for lunch and that kind of thing. There was concern over malnutrition. So a lot of philanthropic groups started to, they would bring in like their lunches for kids, like, oh, these kids have to go to school. So, you know, some generous benefactor would bring in lunches for their lunch hour. But that, you know, that was reliant upon the kindness of strangers. Is somebody going to do that in every area? Ultimately, Philadelphia and Boston, they kind of laid the groundwork. They were the first major cities to actively attempt to implement school lunch programs in the U.S. And Philly started by serving penny lunches in 1894.
Wow.
You bring a penny,
wow,
you give it to the kitchen, you're going to get a lunch. And in fact, there wasn't even a kitchen or a dining room. They just ate on their desks back then because there wasn't really a place to go and eat.
Oh, yeah. That's true. There wouldn't be a lunchroom because there was no lunch. Right. I didn't
not at all. About that. No, of course not. Of course not. That brings us to our first fourth listener, Butter Spider, who hit us up on Discord, said, having to scrounge for loose change for lunch on the way out the door before the bus arrived. Wow. A memory that he had. He said, I think our lunch then was like 75 cents. And now his kids is $2.85, which
shit, his kids getting a discount.
Yeah.
It's not a penny. It's not 75 cents. Under $3 for a meal is still not ridiculous, probably.
Yeah.
No, I mean, my kid in high school, and he's been graduated for several years, when he was like a freshman and sophomore and stuff, his lunches oftentimes averaged like $7, $8 a time.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I vividly remember that my lunch was for the big part of my like middle school, elementary kind of was 55 cents. And my parents would stack on the front of the TV where my Atari was. So that's where I'd see it. They'd put stacks of 2 quarters and a nickel, 5 of them. And every day I had to stop on my way out the door, grab a stack of 2 quarters and a nickel, put it in my pocket. Yep. And maybe they would throw an extra 15 cents in there. So you get an ice cream or something extra they'll offer you. But the price is one thing that's definitely changed.
Yeah. And looking back at some of the other history, they said like it found like the one in Boston that you brought up, that was pretty experimental. Like they were just doing it like as part of, I guess, the home ec classes, and they were making lunch for students like a few days a week. And the other days they had like, some other alternative food, I guess, that the kids had to deal with.
The home ec classes were making the lunch for the school kids?
Well, the schools weren't that big back then, too. They weren't like, like we have today where you have like 1,000 students. I can imagine.
And you think about it, what are you learning in home ec, right? Amongst the things you learn are how to cook, right? How to sew, things like that. They probably had the burners already.
You better hope you got some smart kids in that home ec class, though. Otherwise, your lunch is going to suck.
Right.
Well, you know who to beat up.
The home ec kids.
He beat up the home ec kids.
Damn it. Is Daphne here today? Shit.
Lunch is going to be bad.
But also, like during the Great Depression, a lot of farmers were losing money. So the government was buying up all their surplus crops. And so rather than throwing it away, they were giving it to schools and hiring people to make lunches for students, as part of the New Deal
now,
stuff.
The government still does that subsidized farming, but now they throw the food away.
They just
literally let it rot in the field.
Right. Yeah, now they pay for it and throw it away. Right.
Yeah.
That's the wrong direction.
I mean, we wouldn't have to have a hungry family in the country if we just use that food some of the time.
But basically, I think they came out with that this lunch programs just weren't growing that fast. And a lot of it is because it's a huge expense, to put a kitchen in, to hire people. Unless you feel that it's something necessary, you're not going to invest the money in it. Your community is probably not going to do that either.
Yeah.
And then I found out that in 1946, school lunch programs are actually made official. Truman signed the National School Lunch Act, which basically was to make sure that every kid got something to eat during lunch, whether it's school.
Right. Had one available to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Available, actually, at least. Right.
They would have lunch there. Yep.
And it was funny. I was looking through the comments. One of them was from Inscrutable Al. And he said, I usually brought a buck and had change. So he doesn't remember exactly how much it was, but he knew it was like less than a dollar.
Around a dollar. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I mean,
get something back.
It goes into that model, though, like very early on, you're right, that they realized this was a big expense. And it wasn't just an expense for the schools. It was an expense for the families who ended up having to pay for these lunches. So that's where you start getting these free and reduced price lunch programs available out there.
Right.
As long as the family met certain criteria. So like, a family of four has an income of like $55,000 or less to qualify for a free lunch. I know here in Florida, John, that was a big thing because even though personally my family was well off, our grocery store that we owned was directly across from a middle school that was in the poorest neighborhood in town.
Right.
And I remember as a young person working in that store, talking with the young kids from that school as they would come in after school, I would hear a lot of them talk about the fact that that was their only meal of the day. So their family was so bad off that they couldn't afford to eat lunch. And that was one of the things that kept them in school. Like, it wasn't that the kid cared about the education. He didn't want to get suspended because that was the only time he got to eat.
Yeah.
Understandable.
The weekends were even once, there's a person on Twitter who reached out to us and wanted us to talk about the free lunch programs, DTMS Eagle 89, which is very coincidental because I graduated from a school whose mascot was the Eagles in 1989.
So coincidence.
It wasn't me that put this comment out there, okay. But then you talk about people like myself who could afford the school lunches, and there was a system put in place. I think it was right around the time I started going to school in middle school and in high school where you could pay in advance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A parent could put money on the books, which like you know, made school more like prison. Right.
Commissary.
I get cigarettes.
My parents did this in a couple of ways. So first of all, my parents had an open account with a local restaurant that was right next door to my middle school.
I remember that one.
Yeah. And so I would get to go in every morning before school and get a breakfast and then go to school where I had my famous pork chops, which I'm sure is going to make the list at some point.
No one's going to talk about that.
Nobody's going to talk about that. But then in high school, we had a computerized balance system because our school was one of the rare schools that had a full computer network in the mid 80s.
Wow. That's
cool. Yeah. And so they had a system that they had put in place that would deduct what we bought from our balance. And my parents would once a month would just fund that thing. And I would get to get anything that I wanted from lunch.
Wow.
It was really cool. Now, on Discord, Miss So, one of our favorite fourth listeners, she wrote in and said, "My brother and I were still on a lunch program for low income families where we had a ticket to punch." Did you guys have a ticket?
No.
A card?
At something like that, but yeah, not exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I always remember they had a sheet and they would just tick off that you ate that day. I never remember having a card. Wow. But, okay.
She goes on and says, "I'd hear some kids snicker behind me sometimes since I was one of the quote poor kids by senior year, and they usually brought cash to pay, but I didn't care. Food is food." So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it goes to say, you know, it was another one of those things that kids could bully each other about, right? It
was
one of those, you know, oh, you got the poor, you got the hand-me-down clothes, and now you're getting the free lunch. It's a sad thing, but I'm glad it was there for Miss So and so many other kids who needed it.
Yeah. Actually, I was on it in junior high school. And back then, they actually gave you like a booklet of like rip-off tickets. And so you basically had to give, you know, each ticket was like a day.
Like food stamps.
Yeah, essentially. Wow. Actually, it was.
Yeah.
And there was still a lot of stigma attached to that because, you know, it's basically said that you didn't have enough money to get lunch. It basically is what it said. Mm. It was just something that, you know, you just, if you wanted to have lunch, though, like you said, like Miss So said, like food is food. And if you're hungry, you didn't give a damn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There definitely was a stigma attached. I remember I was never on a low income. We probably could have been if we'd applied, maybe, because I remember things were tight often when I was a kid. But, you know, I always had my 55 cents or whatever it was. But I know often kids would have to go to a different line where they would, they weren't paying, but they were going to check in, which made it even worse because that then segregated the kids.
Yeah.
So they're not even in the same line.
Water fountain segregation shit. That's even.
It's certainly shades of that, but I remember it wasn't the entire time I was in school, but I remember that was an extra thing, like, oh, the kids in that line. And the thing is, it's like a lineup. Like, here's a dozen kids standing in that line. There's the four kids. It was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But, you know, moving on, though, I mean, if you look at like more modern times, you know, I know that in 81, you know, Reagan had slashed a whole bunch of money that went to school lunches.
Now, Mo, you know, 81 is 40 years ago, right? This is not modern times yet. I know it feels like yesterday.
How about contemporary times for me?
Okay.
So he slashed money out of the school lunch program because what, trickle down economics was going to make drooping food appear on the kids' trays or some shit?
Well, remember they were talking about the whole budget issues they had back then and trying to balance the budget. And that was one area that he felt could be cut. I don't know. Well,
beans trickle down. They'll trickle. Yeah.
But really what's most notable about that is that's the infamous ketchup is a vegetable time.
I remember that. Even though it was derived from a fruit, it's now a vegetable.
It was considered a vegetable, and that's the way they could meet the nutritional standards of like a vegetable by giving kids ketchup.
Yeah.
Which is so kind corn of pathetic.
You got your meat, you got your bread, you dip it in ketchup, you got your vegetables, milk, and you're done.
Fucking politicians.
I just wonder, like, how do you put forward something like that with a straight face?
You know, like ketchup is a vegetable. Oh,
I want to say that we should consider ketchup to be a vegetable because it has tomatoes. I mean, come on.
All in favor? And somebody had to vote on that.
Same class of individuals who can't spell potato.
Yeah.
So doesn't surprise me at all.
So, but when it is contemporary, which I looked up some numbers today just out of curiosity. You know, I was kind of curious to see how school lunch is doing today. Uh-huh. So we spend, well, the government spends about $14.2 billion a year on school lunches. And it sounds like a lot because it is a lot of money, mm-hmm. but they serve basically 20 million lunches a day with that money.
Wow.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Not enough.
I would say that too.
Fucking spend $100 billion on our fucking kids so that they can eat.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you.
I'll give up a stealth bomber.
Or a barber chair, whatever costs $5 million these days.
And by the way, I know there's going to be people going to be pissed at me for railing on this shit. When I was in the Air Force, that was my job, was to work on stealth bombers. So I'm okay with giving one up if it'll feed the kids of America.
I know. And I just doing some back of the napkin math. Basically, the average cost of a meal is about $3, which to me is like,
that's
a small price to pay, again, to keep a kid from being hungry.
Well, and you got to figure part of that money is coming out of that subsidized food stuff from farmers and everything. So it's even a lower cost in reality because that money's not figured in.
Yeah. He said, I agree with you 100%, George. I mean, no kid should be hungry, right? When you get right down to it. And it's a sad
state. Just take my taxes and feed them. You know, my mother, I love her to death because the one thing, you go to my mother's house, you don't leave there without being full.
Nope. You get more than you wanted and then a little more.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we should do for our kids.
Yeah.
There's no reason that there should be a hungry child in this country. If there's a hungry child in this country, we've done something horribly wrong.
Absolutely.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Pressbox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Pressbox Access.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
The price of a lunch is low. An average of less than 30 cents for those who can afford it. Even lower for those who can't. Free of charge for the child of a needy family. Lunches are designed to be nutritious, attractive, and well-balanced. Type A, they're called. Meats and other foods rich in protein, a combination of fruits and vegetables, bread, butter, milk. Type A.
Thinking about this, I really don't have much experience with staff. I have no memories of the kitchen staff of my middle school at all. And it's funny because I was looking at Inscrutable Owl. He had a comment on Discord about old cranky ladies who are servers, which you see in every TV show and every movie, right? They're always cranky. That's,
There's a goddamn Adam Sandler song paying tribute to them.
That's just the stereotypical, right? There's a cranky lady who's mean to you and glopping food on your plate, that kind of thing. But
the Chris Farley kind of reenactment stuff off of Saturday Night Live, right?
Yep.
I mean, I think, though, one of the best comments we got about the staff from Brad B on Discord, this guy is definitely a writer because he uses one of the best words that we've had in any of the comments. The lunch lady's sartorial hairnets.
Wow.
Fucking A, pulling out the thesaurus on a lunch lady line. Yeah. That's awesome.
Give a lunch lady her due. Why not?
Yeah, really. And on Facebook, Sharon R., who I must say is one of our favorite listeners because that's John's mom.
It is my mom. That's right.
Asked the question, most memorable lunch lady. So which one do you guys want to go first?
I can go since it's my mom.
Yeah, go to John.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So this is great. Yeah. My mom said, you tell us your most memorable ones are. And I have one that definitely comes to mind. It was that same line we talked about where you had to stand in line to pay for your lunch, or you had to later was integrated. Everyone that had their discount lunch or whatever. Right. And it never happened to me, or maybe if it happened, it happened only once. And I always thought about this woman, and either she was independently wealthy or she was just one of the kindest women ever. I would see kids in the line in front of me who either didn't have enough lunch money or didn't have their lunch money. And it became known that if you didn't have your money, go, because this woman would say you paid, and she had money. She had a little box, a little cigar box. She'd open it and take the money out of the cigar box, put it in the change tray, and pay for a kid's lunch. I never saw anybody pay her back. I never saw anybody say, "You're the kindest woman on the planet." I'm sure this elderly lady then is passed away now. But in hindsight, I wish I'd had the wherewithal to stop and go, "You're an amazing person. You're doing this for these kids." And you were talking about the staff for the lunchroom. The easy thing is to talk about the grumpy one or the one with the hair coming out of a mole,
right.
The wicked witch. But the one that, had the hair net over her mole. I don't know what you'd have for that. The one I remember the most was always, I didn't ever know her name. She was just a lunch worker sitting there with a little hair net outside the kitchen to take your money. Or if you didn't have it, she would help pay for your lunch. And that was an amazing memory.
Yeah.
And what about you, George? You have anyone memorable like that?
Well, not like that, but certainly memorable.
Okay. All right, it's fair.
And mine wasn't a lunch lady. It was a lunch guy, I guess, or a lunch dude, whatever. So in middle school, the place where I had the famous pork chop lunch, which again is not going to come up very often.
I don't think anybody will ever bring it up.
We had a small lunchroom and an even smaller kitchen. Like it was literally like the kitchen you would see in a house, not in an industrial professional place. Like it was like a galley style kitchen. And the guy that served the food for everybody, which I think there was maybe 50 kids or 60 kids in the school total. So it's not like, you know, it was a lot of kids like in a big high school or middle school. He made the lunches every day, and I was allowed to go back into the kitchen to heat my pork chop up, which was part of the memory.
George had his own workstation in the kitchen.
I did.
I'm trying to picture this, though. It's like,
I go back there and
here comes George.
If he didn't, if one of the burners wasn't in use, I would cook it in the pan. And if it was, I would use the microwave.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, man. The thing I remember most about him was he was also the school's weed supplier. So this guy, he provided the marijuana refreshments for my friends who partook of that, thing. I've never done drugs in my life. It not because, of any, philosophical stance or anything like that. It didn't appeal to me, but they did. And he made sure that they were well supplied. And I never forgot the way, there were times when none of the school faculty were in the lunchroom, which was quite often, he would just literally, a kid would walk up and put a $20 bill on the tray, and a bag of weed would hit the tray right next to it, and he'd take the $20 bill, and it was just moving through the line.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Mo, I'm starting to connect some dots here, so stay with me. George had an affluent family.
Mm-hmm.
They worked in a disadvantaged neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
George had a hookup with a dealer at school.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing the picture I'm painting here?
I'm with you.
My dealer.
He never sampled his own product. So he's clearly got something going on.
Well, now I'm the drug supplier for all of middle schools in my town. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
He did not say that, but he didn't say it either.
I'm just connecting the dots.
The best part was the guy's name, swear to God, was Roscoe. Could you have a better name for a lunch dude, marijuana selling guy than Roscoe?
Right. No, if it's not going to be Cheech, it may as well be Roscoe.
Yeah, Roscoe.
Cheech might have been better, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
A nutritious lunch helps a child stay alert.
It helps teenagers make that final spurt of growth that develops them into healthy grown-ups. It gives all youth the energy to keep up and grow up. And what better use for our cultural riches than the school lunch? The total food consumed in the school lunch program represents an ever-growing market for our farms and our food industry. Of course, there are schools that just don't have handsome cafeterias like this or efficient kitchen facilities of their own. But this hasn't stopped some schools that lack such facilities. They still have a lunch program, a different kind.
If you're going to talk about school lunches, an obvious topic that came up in so many of the responses we got on social media were the food items that you could get at school lunches. And the number one thing that more people mentioned wasn't even close.
Absolutely. Can I say it?
Sure.
Broccoli.
That was second. No, it was the broccoli.
I was thinking cauliflower, but oh man.
It was the rectangular pizza that fit in the tray. It was that stuff.
Of course it was.
Oh, yeah.
So just running through a few, Rex B on Facebook, Pizza Day, Lewis S on Facebook, Square Pizza, John H on Facebook, the pizza you could crack a tooth on. And then Will P, one of our patrons, maybe more patrons in here, sorry, don't call it out, also on Facebook, loved the pizza centerpiece, no crust, no corners. So he was a gourmet.
That's the worst one.
I want the crunchy corners, like brownies. You want that crunchy part. Yeah, not him.
The middle piece, but that was me.
It's like lasagna. I don't want the middle piece of lasagna either. I want the edge piece.
And then, so Stubaca, one of our longtime supporters on Discord, said rectangular pizza.
Yeah.
Seconds, going back for more. I could never go back for more. Could you do that?
Are you allowed to go back for more?
We could at our school because we had to pay for them.
You're paying for more. Okay. Powdered toast, tater tots, Sloppy Joe's, he was a big fan of.
How was Sloppy Joe's not the most popular?
No, I loved it, but I guess it wasn't as prevalent. I think everybody had it. Everybody had the pizza. Yeah. And then for breakfast, they had grits. And Stubaca says, that's the primary reason I still love grits to this day.
Wow. You know, we only had breakfast in middle school, but I went to the restaurant part.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
don't think we had breakfast at the high school that I remember.
I don't remember if we did or not. Or maybe it came along later. I never did because I'm not a breakfast person, but that's the reason he liked grits. They had to buy two meals then, which is interesting. You had enough money to buy a breakfast and a lunch.
And a lunch, yeah.
Wow. I don't know how that worked. I don't think I ever did it. I don't want to get up that early, so...
Yeah, right.
You know what's funny is Clint M on Facebook also talked about, I love the square pizza.
Yeah,
this is kind of burgers that we all suspected were actually soy instead of beef. Like, what was the beef content of that burger?
Those burgers were suspect for a lot of reasons, and soy wasn't the thing that was my suspicion.
I thought it was mostly breading or something.
And why were they wet? Not greasy.
Oh, yeah.
Wet.
Right.
Wet burgers.
How do you make a burger wet?
You know, I've cooked probably 1,000 frozen patties in my time.
Yeah.
I have never been able to turn a patty wet instead of greasy. I've never been able to do that. I don't know. Yeah, it's unique. Maybe they were steaming them in water, maybe?
That's how they kept them hot, maybe. That might be. Well, it's probably on the hot table. Maybe they're staying hot that way. I don't know. But it was a little scary. Mike G on Facebook also hit us up, and he was talking about pizza, but I didn't remember this. Individually wrapped rectangle pizza? I don't remember that at my school.
I don't remember anything being wrapped.
I'm
like a muffin. You might get a muffin that's wrapped or something. But they have to heat it up. Yeah, I don't know, but I don't remember those myself.
Like, I guess you eat the plastic along with it.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. At least maybe it wasn't wet, at least. That's a bonus.
Or maybe it kept the moisture in. Who knows? Yeah,
maybe. Right?
Butter Spider on Discord sent us this thing, which is probably the most non-pizza thing I've ever heard. Peanut butter and honey sandwiches? Was that served in school, though?
I mean, I didn't have it in school, but I've had that sandwich multiple times.
Yeah. As a school lunch, I'm just saying, picture like them making a peanut butter and honey sandwich for kids. I don't know. It just seems like something I've never seen before.
Do you think that's because jelly is almost pure sugar, but honey is a little healthier for you?
I don't know.
I would bet that it's more about cost. Honey would probably be cheaper because you can buy the cheap kind of honey in bulk.
Oh.
Also, honey lasts forever on the shelf.
Oh, does too. Yeah.
But why wouldn't they go with jelly? You could categorize it as a fruit, right? So you go that path. Right.
No, as a vegetable.
A vegetable.
Oh, as a vegetable. Because it's made from a fruit. That's right.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
You know, Thanos, he's one of our longtime patrons, listeners, everything, right? he talked about a different form of pizza as well. Mexican pizza. Mm-hmm. I guess what, like taco flavoring, the cheese or something?
It was. It was.
He also has a powdered component, powdered mashed potatoes. Oh, I never had the powdered toast, but I definitely had powdered mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Brown gravy, he says, versus, I don't want to read this, green slash yellow phlegm colored gravy.
What the hell was that?
I don't think that was not a choice. That was like... Oh. That was a torture, it feels like.
I would think that's the gravy you don't want to eat because it's probably like a week old gravy or something.
I can actually see Thanos' comment. Like, I can see that mashed potatoes and gravy in my mind.
But the green-yellow gravy?
Oh, it had these flecks of stuff in it. It looked like a... It looked like
okay, moving along. Let's move on to the next one.
All right. So Kimberly P. over on Facebook talked about the greasy pizza, of course.
Of course.
Opening milk containers. Like, how do you open them correctly, right? That was... let's talk about that in a second. And eating the Nutty Buddy one layer at a time. So you get ice cream. And you eat all the nuts and chocolate. Then you eat through the ice cream. It's my favorite ice cream, the Nutty Buddy. Right?
What's the Nutty Buddy? I'm not familiar with the Nutty Buddy.
Nutty Buddy, the chocolate and peanuts on top in the wrapped cone. Yep. And it's almost frozen solid. You get it out of the freezer. So the whole thing will chip your tooth like the other comment from before.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really good. As a matter of fact, now Haagen-Dazs is selling a higher version of that. My wife gets that shit all the time. She's like, would you like one? I'm like, well, it's a Nutty Buddy. Of course I want one.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Well, so going back to Kimberly's comment about the milk carton opening, that was a big deal because if you opened it wrong, you're drinking out of a frayed rope because it would get so stringy and you would feel like the little strings of paper would be in there. And so like I would try to open it.
How did you open it up so poorly that was your experience? Well, I never had that problem.
You open it from the wrong side. That could happen. Like, you're not paying attention because the cartons were like the cardboard. They were
cheap cardboard. They were wax coated cardboard. Yeah. And I don't know. It wasn't easy. It was. Look, if I go to the grocery store and buy orange juice, it opens cleanly. It's nice. But you open these. And it looks like you just ripped a phone book in half and you just got these frayed garbage edges.
I never had that problem.
And the milk soaked into it and you touch it to your lip and it's this warm, wet, just fringe on the edge of the milk carton.
Oh, wow.
How you open a milk carton was important. I agree with Kim.
I never had to, literally, I just folded the wings back. Then I squeezed them together and that popped a little triangle out front and that was it. I never had a problem with it.
Well, maybe in Georgia school they had up class milk cartons, but mine were garbage.
You had the bargain basement.
We probably did. They were laced with marijuana is what it was.
Yours were T.G. Lee and mine was Bob's Milk.
Oh, man. Oh, Heather M. on Facebook talks about the Jello with the fruit in it.
Yes.
I hated that crap.
You hated it?
Oh.
Well, two completely different reactions.
Wait, Georgia, do you want to trade? I will trade you I'll give you my cookie for your fruited Jello.
Oh, fuck yeah.
All right.
In a heartbeat. Deal. I'm absolutely a cookie guy.
I like the fruited Jello. Oh, man.
I don't even care if it's oatmeal raisin. I'll eat the shit out of a cookie over that fruited Jello.
But Heather also brings up the burgers that they steamed, I guess, rather than...
The wet burgers.
Maybe that's how you cook them. Steam them. Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know. Oh, okay. You guys remember Brad. Brad B is a longtime supporter of the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He remembered the square pizza. He talked about haggling that went on during milk breaks, which I didn't know about milk breaks. I had to write him and go, what's a milk break?
Yeah, what's a milk
break? Apparently, in elementary school, they had like a 15-minute, either before or after lunch, like late in the morning or something before lunch, to just have some milk.
Oh, it was like a snack kind of thing, I guess.
That wasn't a thing for me.
Like a water break, but okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Right. He talks about the pudding your mom would occasionally give you when you had a killer Evil Knievel lunchbox would occasionally get spoiled by the hot chicken noodle soup in your thermos. Again, very specific. That's a story that he has that he wants to tell, I think. It's not a general problem. And also the complex blend of condiments to make some of the cafeteria food more tolerable.
Sure. Yeah.
And fuck George for getting pork chops. If you're a new listener, we've touched on this a couple of times. You just have to know that the saint of a woman that George's mom is made him a pork chop lunch in a big ass thermos that he brought to school and apparently went back behind the counter and cooked himself each day instead of just eating
the
regular
pork
lunch.
Chop cold? That's uncivilized.
Yes, you can. I did it a lot.
But so, George actually had meals prepared for him to take.
I
know.
I did. I had full meals. Yeah, the lunches, I didn't do the lunch thing like you guys did until high school, but in middle school, I had full fucking meals, baby. I had peas. I had pork chops. I had corn. I had bread. Oh, absolutely.
Paper napkin, cloth napkins, candelabra. Who knows what's in there? Napkins.
A butler.
A butler. It was the weed guy. It was his butler.
The weed guy took over.
Can I get you anything else, George? Wink, wink. Yeah.
Oh, reading through it, it's like Ashley C. actually talks about the cardboard taste as you drank your chocolate milk.
Thank you, Ashley. Exactly. Yep.
But I like this part of it, though. She says, you knew it was likely cancerous, but you didn't care.
Yeah, the chocolate milk was probably the best drink school. Until I got to high school and they had soda, but elementary, middle school area, chocolate milk. Yeah.
You had soda? You get soda. Really?
At our high school, we had a fountain machine. You had to pay for it, but yeah, really? You had a fountain machine.
Oh, I never had that. The biggest benefit that we had was they had iced tea later on. You get sweet tea instead of milk, but they never added soda. I don't know if that's better. It's still loaded with sugar.
So you guys only had what, like milk, juice, and water?
Not even water. Not even bottled water. You got regular milk or chocolate milk. Well, that was it.
We didn't have bottled water back then. The fucking pansies that have bottled water now.
No, that was it. But later in high school, we could get sweet tea, which is what I always got. Yeah. And they were pre-poured and like lidded things. You had to peel the plastic off. Like somebody manufactured these tea containers. Yeah, that's cool.
I feel like at the end of the segment, we need to say what our favorite thing or meal was.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many of these things count. We'll see. Hambone hit us up on Discord. Again, I remember the rectangular pizza.
Yeah.
But again, with the pizza, it's the only thing we have to talk about. But the chicken sandwich was probably the best.
Huh.
Like a breaded chicken sandwich?
We didn't really have that.
I don't know. I don't remember that one. No, I had fish sandwich. We had that.
My son, at the school that I went to, that he later went to, they started trucking in Chick-fil-A.
Several people mentioned something about, you know, having a food court or something, which I've never had. Hambone goes on to say the hamburgers were pressed meat with fake grill marks and tasted. Well, listen to this.
Yeah.
And tasted like how a gym locker smelled.
Nice.
Yeah, he's not wrong there. That's pretty accurate.
It's like a McRib. Isn't that just like pressed meat in the shape of a rib?
It's like the pink slurry that just
exactly.
Ends up.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's pink meat.
The oddest food contribution on the list, I think, Vicky M from Facebook says meatloaf with oatmeal in it. No.
Is that instead of breadcrumbs? Maybe.
Yes. You've had it. You just didn't know you had
it.
So
not like oatmeal as a porridge type of dish mixed into the meatloaf.
It's a filler to extend the meat, to make the meat last longer.
So instead of oatmeal, say oats, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, it's dried oatmeal. Okay. I mean, that's what it was.
Yeah, it's oatmeal, pretty much. But yeah, because you're right, like breadcrumbs, I guess, is how you would normally stretch that. They probably had oats in the back from breakfast, so they're like, let's use it to stretch out the meatloaf and make it last longer.
Well, I mean,
and then you get a taste for it, don't you? Like, if you like it at school, you're like, how come meatloaf at home doesn't taste like this? Because they're using right ingredients, probably.
It's the way it's supposed to taste.
Oh. All right. You suggested it, George. Before we get out of this segment, we're talking about food. What is your favorite lunch that you remember? And I'll start with you, George. It was your suggestion. Are you going to go with your pork chop, which is likely the most favorite?
No, I'm not. I mean, granted, my mother's a saint. She made one of the best meals ever. But for me, it was when I got to high school and I was picking my meals and paying for them at the lunch counter. I really, really liked the pizza that they served, which was a square pizza, but they did a good job of it. Pizza, French fries. And then for the drink, I talked about earlier that you could have sodas, but at my school, you could get your cup of soft serve ice cream and turn it into a soda float. So I would have a Coke float with my pizza and French fries. As a kid with that metabolism,
that sounds pretty good.
Greatest lunch ever.
Jeez.
You could dip your French fries in this float too. Ooh.
I didn't do that. That's an oatmeal meatloaf bullshit thing.
No, it's not doing that. The salty with the sweet, trust me, you got to get some fries and a Wendy's Frosty. It's good.
There's some weird people on this podcast.
Yeah, three of them. Do you remember your favorite, Mo?
So my lunch experiences were kind of weird because from elementary school, I went to a private school for elementary. So we had lunch every day. Middle school, I did school lunch. And then my high school did not even have a cafeteria. So we had to go out for lunch every day. So But from elementary school, they would occasionally have like, basically it was chili over rice.
Okay. Which,
okay.
And it was probably all canned, but I don't know why everybody just freaking loved it. And I did too.
Wow.
You know, it was always a thing that there was never any left at the end of the day. So I'd have to say that was probably my best school meal.
Good. I think for me, it was probably the Sloppy Joe's. I love the Sloppy Joe's.
Mm. How do you go wrong with that?
Usually on Sloppy Joe Day, they would have corn. And I love something about the texture and flavor of corn with Sloppy Joe goes together. Sometimes I would put the corn on the Sloppy Joe because it was just really good.
Okay.
And that sweet tea was really good. And so that's my favorite that I bought at lunch. But if I packed a lunch with my $6 million man lunchbox, it was usually my mom would make scrambled egg sandwiches. That was basically like an egg sandwich, but the yolk was broken. It was a little mayo, a little ketchup on there, and sometimes a slice of tomato with an egg sandwich. And she'd wrap it in foil so it stayed really, really hot. But the bread turned into like this pink dough. But it was so good. I know. It was the best part. It made it what it was. So I packed them in.
When was the last time you ate one of those?
Like that? It's probably elementary school. Not like that. Because you got to pack it in foil, let it sit. Let it sit in, in the heat and do that. So many great responses from so many of our patrons. When we get back, one more segment. We're going to talk just generally about experiences in the school lunchroom. Stick around.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, cut.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
Some kids just don't buy the school lunch. They think it's perfectly all right, pretty cool, in fact, to live on snacks. Teenage girls are the most poorly fed of any group in the nation. Alarming, isn't it, when you consider their future jobs as wives and mothers? And take this youngster. Looks like he could safely skip a meal or three, doesn't he? But don't be fooled. What he really needs is a meal. A meal with food that counts. Is this happening in your community? Find out, because many children are not getting good lunches at school.
So in our last segment, what we're going to talk about just generally, just experiences. It's not necessarily about a lunch staff or the food you liked or anything like that, but it's just kind of a catch-all category because there were a lot of really interesting comments from our followers. And a couple people chimed in. I would not have thought to talk about it. This is exactly why we reached out to our listeners. What are the things we better make sure we talk about? Thanos hit us up on Discord and said, what about the ice cream scoops as serving utensils for food other than ice cream?
Yeah.
Which is exactly right. Scoop the potatoes, scoop the rice, scoop the whatever, rather than, so what, I don't know why they use those. They had the little clicky thing that you could eject the food.
I mean, it's portion control, right?
Oh, it is that too. Yeah. And then Nicholas G, they had mentioned on Facebook, the other benefit was spaghetti served with ice cream scoops, nice round mounds of pasta. And it would, because you click, click, and it was this perfect little ball, and it was portion control.
Pasta.
Yeah.
That does not sound appetizing.
Yep.
Yeah, the portion control's got to be the biggest part of that.
Most likely. Yeah. I never see anybody else using ice cream scoops for anything in a restaurant, though. Nobody else does it, but it's cool.
Yeah.
Not that we see. It might be in the back. Who knows?
I guess, maybe. Yep.
And then we got a comment from Chris H. on Facebook. He says, when I was in elementary school, we always had to take two more bites of our lunch before we could buy ice cream. I was like, oh, wow. Really? That's pretty...
like a parent. That might be the only two bites you ate, so you saved them for then. Right.
You know, Butter Spider on Discord, he talked about the timing, which was really important for kids.
Oh, yeah.
They only had 25 minutes for his lunch, and by the time they got through the line and sit down, they had about 5 minutes to shove all the food down their gullets. I kind of feel like that's like based off of maybe whoever ran that lunchroom was formerly in the military, because that's exactly what happens in basic training.
I'm going to say that Butter Spider's just not doing it right, because I was the first one in the lunch line. I strategically knew the right path to get to the lunch line.
Well, you were also 6'2". in elementary school. So
I could, yeah, they, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We used to make a sport out of spinning the lunch tray on our finger. Like, we just thought that was really cool. Could we get the tray in advance of the food? And so if you're cool, you could do that. Like, you thought it was a basketball, but yeah, it wasn't that
when
cool.
I had in high school, like I said, we didn't even have a cafeteria in my high school. There was like no mm-hmm. space for right. it. So if you brought lunch, you ate in the auditorium. And so the problem is that if you didn't bring lunch, you had to go out and get lunch, like at a pizza place or
right.
And you only had 40 minutes. And if you were late and you could not get food. You would not have time to get food.
Well, like the kitchen was just closed. They weren't serving anymore. That
we didn't have a kitchen. I'm saying going
that's a pizza thing
around the corner.
Oh, right, in your place. Okay,
so so getting there first.
A lot
is very
of kids
important.
Would do that at my high school too. They would have to go out, not because they had to, but they would choose to. Mm-hmm. And I remember at our school, if you didn't get back in time, that was a suspension.
Ooh. Come back from lunch. Well, how many people just didn't come back? I knew people would go out to lunch and just, I'm done. I'm finished with the day. You know, George, you're going to like this one. Hambone hit us up on Discord and he said, we had a slush puppy machine in our cafeteria. It was very popular.
Oh, hell yeah, it should be. To this day, you know, you talk about wanting to reacquire things from your youth. Mm-hmm. I know how much they are because I keep looking them up about once a year. I really, truly want a slush puppy machine in my house. It's nothing but diabetic coma in a big stand.
Frozen.
But that's what I want at some point. They're like $3,000, but oh my God, if I had one in school.
Well, didn't you talked about that? You got a slush puppy pop vinyl or something for your birthday one year.
I do. Yeah, I have a slush puppy.
And pop it just vinyl. Reminded that you wanted a machine, right?
I want the machine so bad.
And talking about like how to go out for lunches. Apparently, that's not a unique experience because Sparks 821 talked about in Discord how his senior year, most lunches were at Burger King. And this part I love, where I learned to eat my fries first due to the fact that one of my friends never ordered them.
Oh,
so he
smart.
Picked everybody's else.
Oh, that's not my friend anymore.
He says, to this day, I still eat my fries first out of habit.
That is self-defense, more like. Oh, my goodness. Saying,
that was so ingrained that he protects his fries. He still, to this day, eats them first. That's great.
Wow. You know, Marcus, again, another longtime Forever person. Yeah. He said they had a smoking area right outside the side door of the cafeteria.
A smoking area?
Elementary school?
I know. He didn't clarify which level of school this was, but I guess bigger schools were a little bit more lax about that kind of thing, because in my smaller school environments, every little thing was scrutinized. If a kid was caught smoking, you know, he would get in trouble for it. Now, not that they paid much attention, because like I said, marijuana on the tray. And fucking,
that was the least of their problems.
Right. What are you smoking out in the smoking area?
The bigger schools, you even see that represented in movies quite often. Like you look at like Dazed and Confused. Kids are smoking all over that school campus on the campus. So it's probably not uncommon. It just maybe in different environments it was.
I thought it was just in the movies. I didn't know it was really a thing. I had no idea.
For us, you just had to cross the street and you could smoke.
Oh, really?
If you're on the same side of the street, that was considered you're on the school property. But if you weren't across the street, then you weren't. So you could do anything you wanted to there and the teachers could care less.
Yep. Hmm. We had several people write in with a common theme. Actually, a backtrack we've done in the past. So you'll catch it here in a second. Cat Tap Nappers on Twitter said the laminate, are they laminate? ? Lunch trays. She talks about the rectangular pizza and all
of
this.
Course.
And the metal lunch boxes. Mine was the Muppet Show, she says.
That's excellent. Excellent.
Well, should we go through all the lunchbox comments or do you want my let's kill each other with lunchboxes story first?
There's plenty more. Go ahead and tell us about how you cause pain with your lunchbox.
We've talked about this on a couple of the different podcasts. So at my middle school, for some reason, we all had the metal lunchboxes, which, you know, back then that was the common thing to have. And we had a system, or I don't know what a ritual, whatever you want to call it, but we would after lunch and we were out on the playground because you always went on the playground after lunch at that school, I guess, because they wanted you to burn the energy off or something before you went back to class.
Yep.
We would just literally club each other half to death with those lunch boxes. It was a thing. It was a game that we enjoyed. It was like kill the carrier type of game, but with metal cutlery. It was awesome.
Did you also throw rocks at each other when you were kids?
We did. Okay. That's an army. You're playing army when you do that. You didn't do that?
Okay. No.
Okay. You at least shot each other with BB guns, right?
No.
No. Not in New York City. You weren't shooting.
you didn't carry around something. That
people
like
shot back in New York City. You can't be BB guns around.
I'm trying to imagine little droids like beating each other. It's almost like that scene from 2001: A Space Odyssey. You know, the beginning with the monkeys and you know,
oh yeah,
I'm dancing around
and give the bones instead of bones. They're using lunchboxes.
You're right though, George. There were several more people that talked about lunchboxes. Mike G on Facebook said he loved the character lunchboxes and thermoses. Mm-hmm. Maybe maybe I'll ask you to put a link to that backtrack about lunchboxes in our show notes. That'd be great. Colin T on Facebook said awesome character lunchboxes. He had the peanuts one. He also mentioned some of his school he went to offered non-meat option on Fridays during Lent, even if they weren't a Catholic school. That was nice. Will P on Facebook said I had a plastic Scooby-Doo lunchbox with matching thermos.
Nice.
Yeah, plastic was not valuable in my school.
Yep.
No. It would fall apart as soon as you hit somebody.
Right. Well, that's hardly worthwhile as a weapon. Heaven's sakes. I can't use that.
That's like, oh, you've got the training lunchbox. You're not going to make it today.
That's the sparring lunchbox. It's not your serious battle.
One of the ones I thought was really cute, though, is Joe N. on Facebook. Mm-hmm. He said, emptying your tray at lunch only to remember you had your change on it for your ice cream, and you were caught diving into the trash trying to find it.
Mm.
That's a picture I could easily see.
Do you get that change, or do you let it go and just be mad at yourself?
Oh, I'm going for it. I'm in the trash can.
The ice cream's on the line. You got to go for it.
Boy, that's a tough call for me. I'll have lunch tomorrow.
Well, you were already full from pork chops. You didn't need ice cream.
We needed more.
Just a couple more. Brad B on Discord, he also said he had a side hustle. They would sell candy bars, candy, and friendship bracelets and pins as a premium to the kids at the lunchroom. There's a captive audience, and he was selling stuff, maybe to buy ice cream. I don't know what it was for, but
that, I guess that's a good little hustle.
Yeah.
Very entrepreneurial.
I feel like I might have, like in elementary school, I might have made a bunch of paper boats that I was selling for a nickel or something to people who didn't know how to fold paper boats. It wasn't a long time job. I didn't keep it for very long. It didn't last. And then finally, one more. Tamara over at Totally Cool 80s hit us up on Facebook and said, what was in your thermos? She wants to know what was in our thermos. So when you brought your lunchbox, what was in it, Mo? What'd you bring?
I didn't have one.
Didn't have one. George?
Just the thermos part?
Yeah. What was your drink? What would they put in your thermos?
But I didn't do a thermos. I had a can of Coke usually, or if it was a thermos, it would have been Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Mine was Kool-Aid too. Yeah. She also wanted to know, did you trade food? Oh, hell yeah.
Fuck those people.
We were trading cookies and Jell-O just a minute ago.
No. That's trading to get rid of something. And when I was in middle school with mom's lunches, nothing left that lunchbox.
I wouldn't think so. Gotcha. I mean, you got pork chops.
Yep. You're goddamn right.
Who could offer something equal to that?
And finally, I think we've already answered this. Did they have a la carte items? Yeah, that's how you went back and got seconds, right? You go back and do that. Yeah. So real quickly, I think I have a quick story. I think Mo has a quick story that I think is really amusing. When I was in elementary school, it's a school lunch memory. I could not include it in the show. There were kids spitting spitballs, right? So you take a little piece of the straw paper, you wad it up, you put it in your mouth, you stick it in the end of the straw, and you spit a spitball.
Yeah.
Well, I never did that. I was a good kid. I never did that. But this one day at lunch, it was just going crazy. And it was so much fun. And I'm like, I'm going to get in on this. Well, I don't know how to do spitballs. So I took the whole straw paper, too much, the way. Now you know it's too much.
Way too much.
Chew it up, you know, get it wet. I don't know what they were doing in their mouth. Are they just tying it in a knot? I don't know. So I put it in my mouth and chewed on it. I crammed it in the end of the straw and I was trying to spit it. Like, but it was too big. Right? So as I'm here moving around.
John has an aneurysm at lunch because he's trying to
I'm turning red. I'm trying to shoot a spitball. Of course, for a long time, I'm working at it. And at that moment, the principal comes in and goes, all of you at this table, she sees me with the straw in my mouth, to the office. And I was absolutely begging and pleading. I didn't do it. It didn't work. I just tried. I didn't do a spitball. I got a paddling for attempted spitball.
You had intent, sir.
I didn't even successfully get a spitball out of my straw, but got in trouble for it.
They should have paddled you twice for that one. I mean, you know, once we're attempting and once we're failing.
Doing it stupidly first.
Right. You're being punished for doing it wrong what's happening.
Oh, man. I'd say one thing, in my neighborhood, New York, I remember the big thing was like during the summer, the local schools actually had free lunches for any kid that wanted to come in.
Really? Just go to school?
Just go to the elementary school and you could grab a lunch.
That's awesome.
And they give out lunches until they ran out, you know, but that's I don't remember them ever really that being a problem, really.
That's really
good. Like I said, was it awesome? They weren't awesome, but they were better than nothing.
But it was lunch.
It was food.
It was food. Yeah, exactly. It was food.
It was food. Yeah.
Wow. So
good for them.
Throughout the summer, they would continue to try to feed the neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
And good on those workers for doing that during what was maybe their off time.
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
Yep. That's awesome. So many cool school lunch memories. I cannot believe the overwhelming response we got from our fourth listeners when I put out these questions on social. Thank you, everyone. If your comment didn't make it in this one, we hope it did. We tried to get to everybody. We couldn't get every single thing that everybody said, but we got many people included. We're so grateful that you engaged with us. And frankly, you wrote the show. You did it for us, which is great. We really, really appreciate our fourth listeners. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Don't worry. There's another backtrack coming your way in 2 weeks, and a standard edition of our show will be in your feed next week. Until then, I am John. George. George, I appreciate you and thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, I appreciate you and thank you so much for being here as well. Equally.
I appreciate you too, John.
Fourth listener, it is you we appreciate most of all, and we can't wait to talk to you. Now the fourth listeners are being shorted. Thank you, fourth listener. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody. No life, no fun.
Don't you know that you're a grown-up? Gen X Grown-Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shirts till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be
french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. We'll get to that in a second, but first, it's time to get, but first, I want to, what do I want to say? I don't know.
You could do it.
First time doing the show. Mo, you could do it. You
use
dumbass,
your words.
Try it.
You can do it.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.